And we're especially glad to welcome Bill Payne into our studios. It's always fun to talk to Bill, but it's the most fun to talk to Bill when he's announcing a creativity conference here at UMD. I have concerts on the brain. Creativity concert. I like that idea, too.
Well, okay, that could be fun.
But this one is a conference.
This is a conference, yes.
Now, this gets going any second now.
Our first guest will be on campus this morning visiting classrooms, Nora Naranjo-Morse. And then our second guest arrives today, and the two of them will be presenting on the Marshall Theater stage tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 7 p.m. And this is the second annual Sur de Lute Creativity Conference. We had this last year. It's focused on creativity. We have a different theme this year. This year we're talking about creativity across disciplines and cultures. Last year we focused on brain science and the new brain science that's informing how we think about creativity. This year it's folks from two different fields. Dennis Cheek, who is the executive director of the National Creativity Network, which is a U.S.-based international nonprofit that promotes the skillful application of imagination, creativity, and innovation to positively transform culture. That's some good text, isn't it?
Well, someone was creative. That was creatively written, yes. Actually. Yes.
And so Dennis comes from the business world, from education, trying to foster innovative approaches to a variety of different subjects. And Nora Naranjo-Morse is a sculptor. She's a resident of Santa Fe. She works with clay. She's a poet. A lot of her projects involve community engagement, and her Native American roots in the Southwest inform her work. And so we have two very different cultural perspectives and people who are focused on creativity as something at the core of who we are.
There was a time when the idea of a creativity conference would have just drawn blank looks. Somebody would have come to anybody, even maybe you, Bill, and you think outside the box and said, let's do a creativity conference. And you would have looked at them blankly and gone, well, what would it be?
Well, this is an interesting question because, you know, the person who had the vision for this was Richard Teske. Richard Teske was a UMD alum from the early 70s, and he became a very successful person in politics. He was a part of the Reagan administration in the 80s, an expert in healthcare policy, and so he made a gift to the university to create this conference. And it took a while for people to understand that same question. We're like, well, what are you talking about? I met with him a couple times over the last 5 years, and I said, I think I have a way to put this together. And we did the first one last year. Richard was here for the whole conference. He was thrilled. Unfortunately, Richard passed away last summer after only 1 year of the conference. And so keeping it going, this vision that he had and what his vision was, that we would bring these incredible guests to campus and that students would have the opportunity to interact with them in classes, in workshops, in hear them talk, like at the presentation tomorrow night. And that's the key, is that to have young people inspired by really incredible people who have accomplished a great deal in their life. And I sort of brought in the word creativity to say, well, what you're really talking about, Richard, is the amazing complexity of life, the innovation that people who go out into the world and make a difference are really utilizing. And we're all creative. We all have imagination. We all have the ability to think differently if we try. And so having a conference around this is just one way for us to focus on this, to inspire our students and ourselves about how we just might take a different angle at that, might look at that a little bit differently. This time we're looking at creativity across cultures, how different cultural norms create a different process. It's still creativity, it's still innovation, it's still making, but perhaps it happens in a different way.
On the one hand, when you're dealing with tight budget issues. Obviously, creativity is really one of your number one skills for trying to learn how to make those adaptations. But there's kind of a mindset that, okay, now we've got to pare down to bare bones and students are getting, you know, good paying jobs in hard sciences and we need to get serious and put our focus there, perhaps. Was it a hard sell to say creativity conference, which on its face seems maybe a little fuzzy?
It's not a hard sell. Creativity is a subject that's playing that everybody's talking about. They're talking about it in healthcare. They're talking about it in engineering. They're talking about it in policy making, community development. There's a huge movement in our town, Duluth, to put the arts and making right at the center of community development and economic development. And so the whole idea of what artists kind of know, because we go through this process over and over again throughout our life, it really has been a part of the mainstream forever. This is how, as a people, we move forward.
So we're getting it finally. And when you go, for example, if you were to go to the engineering department or the computer studies department or the math department and say, creativity conference coming up, they'd say, yeah, oh, I understand how I'm going to work that into whatever I choose to do for a living. Who are the people that you most want to attend the conference?
Well, this is, I think Mr. Teske would really want to make sure that as many students as possible engaged with these folks. But I think this is also, we'd have two public events. Tomorrow night, the both of our guests will be doing a 20-minute TED Talk style lecture where they get to do the presentation of their lives about creativity across cultures and disciplines. And then Wednesday at 3 p.m., also in the Marshall Theater, we'll be doing a panel discussion where we'll have our two guests and then four faculty members from across four different disciplines talking about creativity across disciplines and cultures. I'll be one of the panelists. I'll be moderating that panel. And that's where everyone gets to do 5 to 7 minutes and say, here's how I think about this. And then we discuss. That's both of these events are free and open to the public. We hope in both instances the public will have a chance to ask questions of the folks who are doing the discussing, and then our guests will be in multiple classrooms throughout their 3 days here. They'll be right in the classroom with the teachers and the students talking about what they do in a variety of different settings. Some in American Indian Studies classes, ceramics class, art education, you name it. We're trying to get the students connected to these folks.
Maybe it's because I'm old, but I just see so much value in this. Students are already kind of loose and kind of creative, and they're in that place yet where the universe hasn't really kind of pounded the creativity out of them and said, you need to be practical and blah, blah, blah. I think that the conference would be so valuable to older folks like myself who are kind of hidebound and kind of maybe stuck in a rut looking at things in a certain way. And it would be a good way to encourage them to get out, attend the conference, shake things up a bit, do things a little differently.
I agree with you, Lisa. I think that sometimes we get into our routines and it becomes maybe a luxury to think differently about things. Like maybe what if I broke that down to its component pieces and started to take a different approach, if I put them back together differently? The whole idea of a conference is for ideas to roll around. It's for a bunch of people from different perspectives to come together and talk about ideas.
Yeah.
And that is an exciting and necessary act. For us to talk about ideas. Now we have to take action once we talk about them.
Right.
You got to do something with those ideas.
But to come back from that conference, if you've ever had the chance, I've had, you know, once or twice the opportunity to go to a conference and come back and just been bubbling over with ideas.
Definitely.
And just feel energized, and I can't wait to try some of these things.
And even if you only try 1% of that, you still sort of had your routine disrupted.
Yes.
And we're living in a disruptive time anyway, where things are changing. Change is happening constantly and so quickly, especially with technology. It's disrupting. It's disrupting higher education. It's disrupting every discipline. Being able to have these conversations and to think differently about how we approach our work, how we approach our lives, how we approach developing a community or running a radio show. I mean, it's worth it. It is definitely worth it. And we as a people have been doing this forever. We take a step back when we have time and we start to talk and we go, hey, that's a good idea.
Right.
Let's try that.
Bringing people together and sharing ideas. Well, Bill, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really looking forward to it. And coming up in May, we'll have the opportunity to bring a community conversations, a half hour conversation with the artists to folks and be able to kind of tap into a few of the things that they're going to be talking about in case folks weren't able to make the public programs. We'll have that community conversations next month right here on KUMD.
Thank you, Lisa. And we appreciate the fact that you're going to share our guests with people in May.
You betcha.
So hope they can come this week.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Payne is the Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and our guest this morning right here on Northland Morning.